this about the part where they run across the doll in the attic, or is this the...
I think that's where the kids are laughing.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's the kid laugh. Oh, this is the canoe.
And then
no,
it breaks down.
The canoe's in the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I think I think it's the swing set.
What the hell is this?
It gets pretty...
Yeah.
Oh, this is the new edition?
I have no idea. I don't remember this.
It's a mashup.
A mashup, yeah.
It's Trump's
the extended song.
Ooh.
Album only.
That sounds like a good song for a Nintendo game. That sounds like a good pace to it, you know?
When the boss shows up, that's when it kicks in.
Right?
The boss that rocks on a canoe? No.
No.
Okay.
Damn. It's a clown mask that'll haunt your dreams.
I just want to know who thought of, like, let's get some creepy shit. So, one, empty canoe. Because that's scary, apparently.
Well, someone drove that canoe to the dock.
And they're not there anymore, Dan. That's very
Think about
very scary.
That for a second.
And there's fog.
There's fog. Ooh. There's a door, a wooden door, just opening and closing.
An ominous wooden door.
Yeah.
Okay. What makes it ominous?
The fact that it has a creaky knob on it.
And there's several cracks in it. Not one, several.
Answered that. Next question, Dan.
The doll is creepy, though, I will say. Creepy dolls are creepy.
Yeah. If anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, we are talking about the
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
The great Nickelodeon show, Are You Afraid of the Dark? I know this is a great show, though, by the way.
It was on for a while, too. That was on what was it? It was a... Snickelodeon? Is that what they called it?
Snick.
Oh, that's right.
Saturday Night
Oh
Nick.
My god. Man.
Saturday Night
Oh
Nick.
My god.
With Stick.
Yeah, that's just a punch in the gut of my nostalgia right there.
Wow. And it was a good time. I mean, some of those stories were really creepy. Like, I think the creepiest one for me was the story of, like, this girl who lived next to, these grandparents, and this girl goes to visit her grandparents, and, like, the next door neighbor, they lost their daughter. Like, she just disappeared one night and haven't been able to find her. And basically comes to find that the little girl goes next door because she starts hearing things and from this dollhouse. And basically the little girl's trapped in the dollhouse as a doll.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And they have to, like, get out before they, like, stay as dolls forever. Yeah, fuck that.
Ooh, that was...
Because, like I said, creepy dolls are creepy.
Yeah. Oh, that was bad. How about you, Brian? What was yours?
I can think of two episodes right off the bat. One is the Scarecrow one, where the kids go visit, I think, their grandparents again.
Fucking grandparents.
And some shit happens with some sort of, like, Indian artifact, I believe, that awakens the Scarecrows, and they come to life. Almost, they're like kind of like zombie-ish qualities to them, and then they end up having to get into that, like, hay roller thing, or, you know, I'm not a farmhand, forgive me, but that big shit that has, like, the thing in the front that cuts all the crops down.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we're from California, we're not on a farm, so.
Yeah, so they Vin Diesel that and, like, roll through all the scarecrows.
Vin Diesel that.
And then the other one is when the kid gets trapped in the mall and plays the pinball game, and then gets, like, sent into the pinball medieval world. That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, I remember that
one. How about you, Brett?
I think for me, my favorite was the... I think it was an earlier one, too. It was the one where they were in the woods, and they took the cab. The kids took the cab to the weird house in the woods because they got lost. I don't know if their car broke down or something like that.
How old are these kids?
Oh, 14 and 15. They definitely didn't have a car now that I'm thinking about it.
they ride their bikes.
Did they call an Uber?
Maybe they were riding their bikes. Yeah, they somehow get lost in the woods or whatever. Somehow,
they took a Lyft. The Lyft driver got lost.
Yeah.
Then they called an Uber.
Uber takes them to this random cabin or whatever. They run into Dr. Vink, who is a recurring character, I think, in a lot of those episodes. And then they take the cab back, and basically the cab driver's like, "Yeah, I run this route all the time," or whatever.
Oh, he's like a super creepy.
Oh, yeah,
cab driver.
Yeah.
He's like, "I do this, all the time." He's like kind of chummy at the beginning or whatever, you know, making good friends with them. And then he all of a sudden just, like, 180s his head around, and he's like, "That's because I'm dead." And then they go into, like, they start running down a hill, and, yeah, I think it still gives me a little bit
that
of
show is scary as shit to show kids, now that
yeah,
I think about it.
There's, like, the episode where they, like, it's about, like, photographs stealing your soul, and this creepy old guy has a camera that steals kids' souls if he takes a photo of them, and they get trapped in the photographs.
Yeah.
Like, real fucked up, Nickelodeon. How'd you follow that, which Melissa explains it all? Is that how you thought Melissa Joan Hart would just make it all better?
Maybe it was just like a giant warning against pedophiles. Because it's like...
Stay away from old guys.
Right, like
guys.
It's all
okay.
Old creepy guys
yep.
that are doing some weird shit in the shows, you know?
Yeah.
It makes sense. I just wish I had some of that magic storytelling, like... dirt they threw on
the
fire.
The dust.
Yeah.
Like, whatever would make it change the colors.
Good shit,
submitted
right?
for the approval of the Midnight Society.
Yeah. By the way, where are your parents? That's what I always ask. Where are their parents?
Yeah.
Maybe
they're the Midnight Society, man.
Yeah, they're swingers, maybe.
Their parents just never loved them, and that's
right.
why they're out there in the
exactly.
middle of the forest.
The unauthorized.
Practicing witchcraft.
Story of Are You Afraid
yeah,
of
Yeah, this is actually a prequel for Blair Witch Project.
I could see it. Happening.
Yeah.
All right. If you haven't already noticed, because you've clicked on this episode, you're listening to episode 31 of Pop Not Soda.
Woo! We're over the hill, guys.
And you're not going to mention my age anymore. Thank you.
One more episode than Brett's age.
Fuck you. Damn it.
And we have the pleasure of being joined by a friend of the show, resident zombie expert. And everything creepy for all intents and purposes of this show, because it is our
so
first
she's not
October
creepy
show.
Herself, she's just
a little
an
bit
expert in being
Alyssa
hey.
Root.
Woo!
Yeah!
Hi.
Welcome, Alyssa.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we are excited. We have lots to talk about. This is our show to preface The Walking Dead, which premieres on Sunday, American Horror Story, which premieres on Wednesday. Just a ton of shit coming
Scream
out.
Scream Queens that came out last week or the week before.
Yeah, Scream Queens is going. Fear the Walking
Dead
is still
yeah.
going.
Yeah. New series.
A lot of horror on network and cable television these days. A lot.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing I want to start with, though, is Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest. I've only made it through 2 episodes.
What? I've made it through 0 episodes.
Brett, you don't even watch The Walking Dead.
I haven't.
That's
so, why we got
Alyssa.
That's
why we brought Alyssa. I'm glad I've watched
it. We need an expert here. Alyssa, what do you think about the show so far?
I thought they had a really good pilot for the show. It's very different because when The Walking Dead starts, Rick kind of just wakes up and then there's this zombie world and we don't really know the progression of everything. But with Fear the Walking Dead, they're just... It's everything as it's happening, and it's a very real-world experience. I feel like the government would really try to keep everything at bay as it's starting, and they're kind of trying to keep everything contained, and I feel like it's a really, I don't know, just interesting take on how it would really be.
So this is an origin story?
It's an origin story.
Oh, okay.
Based out of L.A., and
oh, wow.
There's a huge Hispanic influence in it, which I feel like is going to tie in further down the road. And I think it's really
Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just had a lot of racist things I didn't say right there.
I can see it.
Thank you.
I can see it in Ryan's eyes. All the comments that popped up. I thought I'd swoop in before. No, I mean, I liked the pilot because it had the zombie movie feel, because I think one of the most attractive things about a zombie movie is the build up to that patient zero encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have these characters like everybody who's watching it. No, shit's going to go down. But you want to see how it unfolds for those characters. And I think they accomplished that in the first episode, in the pilot. So my concern was, how do you keep that tense, that feeling of unknowing moving forward? Because the characters have already kind of been thrown in. So what's really going to differentiate it from The Walking Dead? So, I mean, I'm rooting for it.
Yeah, I mean, do you think it's going to go a long way? Alyssa?
I think it's going to go far. Like, I think it's going to go pretty far. I think it's interesting. They have a lot of different character stories that can really go a far way. I like how they kind of tie in mistrusting the person that sees the first zombie, which is I forget his name, but it's...
Oh, he's the kid at school, right?
The kid, Tom Riddle.
Oh, no, no, no. Tom Riddle. Yeah, because he's druggy.
So yeah, this and they have a drug reference to it. So you're like, well, what started? Is it drugs? Which, as an AMC fan, they always say that there's, like, little Easter eggs of Breaking Bad in The Walking Dead. And I really kind of hope that they tied in Breaking Bad with Fear the Walking Dead. Because he's a meth addict. He's a recovering meth addict, so nobody trusts him, which is a very...
So it's all high.
It's very sad, but...
And he is patient zero. Like, he's the first...
No.
He sees a zombie, though. Kills it. And they realize... And his parents are coming to find him because he's on this, you know, binge. And they see the zombie, and then they run over it with a car. And he doesn't die. And then they end up having to, like, kill him. And then they see the severity of what it is. And like, what is this? And they can't control it.
Ooh.
I will say my favorite character from the pilot was, like, this high schooler who already knew shit was going down. And, like, he's just the dude that's on Reddit all day. Like, already knew. He already read the Reddit thread about, like, zombies here. And he was, like, carrying the pocket knives. And he was, like, ready to fight. Like,
and, but he's still in school. You know,
yeah, just zombies. He's, like, 13 and, like,
still going through the motions. He's a whole storage area in the back with, like, beans and stuff in the cafeteria.
He's like, a 13-year-old prepper, man. Like... And
or maybe he's the only kid in the Walking Dead universe that has actually watched a zombie movie before.
Yeah, way better than Carl. Like, yeah, Carl's been in this shit for 2 years and still doesn't understand. Don't go off by yourself without a weapon. This kid went to school with a weapon.
He just wants pudding. Don't borrow.
Stay in the fucking house, Carl.
Stay in the house, Carl.
Stay in the house.
I think my favorite scene from the pilot was, like, because the mother of... what the main character, Tom Riddle's mom, she's like a counselor at a high school. And she's the one that talks to him because he brings a pocket knife. She's like, what are you doing? And he kind of has like this really crazy, like,
under his breath
rant. Like, he doesn't want to, because he knows she's not going to believe him. So he's just kind of like talking about like random stuff he's read. And they end up having to like cancel school because like not a lot of people showed up. So they just send everybody home. And so she's outside and you just see him on the bus. And he doesn't like shake his head like, I told you so, bitch. But it's like he knows, like, look, I was here, you could have stopped it, but now we're all fucked. Like, that look. And
and that's the actress from Gone Girl, right?
No.
The mom?
Is not.
Oh. No. Is it not? Oh.
Not who's the main actress? Girl. She plays, like, the cop in Gone Girl.
Oh. Maybe.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that, yeah.
Different
and
hair color.
The other mom... is from Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Oh.
Liza, yeah.
Okay.
The nurse.
So is this gonna... Do you see this tying into Walking Dead, like, immediately where characters are gonna be introduced from Walking Dead?
I don't think they're gonna have any overlap,
okay,
honestly.
Okay, okay.
Because they're completely separate. Honestly, I feel like if they go anywhere, they're gonna go to Mexico. If that's the progression of where they leave, they're trying to get out of where they're at in L.A., and I feel like they're gonna try to go to Mexico, honestly.
Oh, wow.
Because they need a border, and what's a bigger border than ours? So
yeah, good point.
It makes sense.
Maybe Donald Trump has a point.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got Fear the Walking Dead. Walking Dead season 6 premieres.
Yes.
Yay! Yay!
If you're listening to this in your earbuds right now, in like 6 days,
will Rick have a beard?
Yeah, like
the day he shaves.
I knew shit was gonna go down when he got rid of the beard, but
no one's ready for that moment.
And I know that you have read nearly every single Walking Dead comic.
Yes.
My question for you is, what is one thing from the comics that you want to see in season 6?
I think that the one thing I do not want to see is Negan. Which, if anyone reads the comics, he's the biggest villain in all of the comics.
Worse than the governor?
He is way worse than the governor.
Oh, shit.
And he is part of a major character death that we do not want to see. But I think the wolves are going to come into play.
Yeah.
And,
So those are those W's, right?
The W's. The wolves are coming. I think they're going to be a group called the Scavengers that are in the comics, and they create a conflict with Alexandria that ultimately creates a huge herd that comes and threatens Alexandria, which is where they're at right now. So I want to see zombies again, honestly. I just, like, I'm scared of seeing all the characters. Like, I just want to be scared of the zombies, like, in the first season when we were just terrified.
Yeah, it turned into, like, Desperate Housewives of zombie
of the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, a little bit like
dystopia.
But I will say, Crazy Rich is my favorite Rich.
I love Crazy Rich.
Is he? Yeah. He is. He's good.
Right, Brett?
You know, I've seen, I have seen five episodes
of the first season.
I saw it to where they went up to rescue the brother, and his hand was cut off from the handcuff.
Oh.
We have no reason that we didn't pick it back up, Allison and I, but I don't know why we just didn't pick it back up. I'm not saying that it's not good. It was great for the first five episodes that we watched, but
I will say I think one thing that's different. Like, what I think the four seasons that have premiered versus the first season, so 2 through 5, they have been criticized for this lack of urgency or this lack of, zombie tension. And I really hope it gets back there because I'm sick of having a zombie show that's not like, oh shit, there's zombies. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was different with The Governor because that took a really nasty turn.
Right.
And it ends really bloody, so that's like a payoff, in a terrible way to call that a payoff. But yeah, like you said, Alyssa, I'm hoping zombies come back into the fray.
Well, one critique is that The Walking Dead is a really slow show, and they have the biggest cast that they've had going into this season, so I think there's going to be a lot of deaths and a lot of things that are just going to change.
Yeah, that's what surprised me about last season. Is the lack of character deaths that we've seen in, the first few.
One of my favorite characters died, and I was sad.
There are some, but
this
I think
be
that
a
there
trend,
were,
too, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of situations, though, where, the main characters that are kind of viewed as untouchable got out of some situations that they probably shouldn't have.
And some people are alive now, and they are not
that aren't in the comics, right?
And Morgan's here. Zen Morgan is now back, so that's going to be interesting to see how he talks to Rick.
Yeah, because he walks in when Rick's like about to blow that dude's head off.
Yeah, if you haven't seen season 5, it's ridiculous in different ways than the series has been before. And if you want to see Crazy Rich, you need to check it out.
Quick question. Is Frank Darabont still kind of behind the helm of that whole thing? Or is it...
I don't think so anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Right. Yeah. I think he left in the first few seasons. And then...
obviously, whoever picked it back up is steering it very well.
Well, yeah, it's still... Yeah, what's his face?
Frank Miller?
No.
There's Robert Kirkman. Who's
Robert Kirkman, yeah. Running. He's always been the...
And then the guy that is in charge of the gore, Greg Nicotero.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right,
he,
right.
And, he just had the movie Green Inferno that came out last week. He was actually in charge of
the... Oh, the Eli
all
Roth
the,
film?
Yeah, he was actually in charge of all the gore and special effects on that movie.
No way.
So that dude loves Bloods and Guts, so...
He's good at it.
Interesting question for everybody. With Scream Queens, that's the second slasher series to premiere this year. Do you think that series that involve a slasher horror killer can go more than one season?
Yes, but probably not more than like 2 or 3. I would say, because then at that point you're probably just stretching what made the first couple seasons good, because you can have like one murderer, him get caught, but then he could be in partnership with somebody else, like Scream style.
Yeah.
So I think there is opportunity to do multiple seasons, but having a show run for like beyond like 3 or 4 probably wouldn't be good.
Yeah. I mean, I have much appreciation in something that's short and sweet. I've always appreciated something that's short and sweet. HBO does it occasionally or whatever. Seeing a one season thing, I actually really enjoy. So, I don't know. As much as I think these series can get eked out for more seasons, it just doesn't appeal to me as a fan of quality television that I want to see.
It's almost, yeah, I feel you. But I think the one thing that separates Scream Queens is the freaking campy comedy.
Oh, yeah. They are hitting it on point.
It is a smart show.
Yeah.
The one-liners.
And that's Ryan Murphy, the guy that did American Horror Story and things like that. We'll get to that later. And Glee, too. Oh, wow. So, I mean, the witty writing is obviously there on point. Yeah.
I just love Jamie Lee Curtis as a... I just can't pin her character down. She plays the dean in Scream Queens of the University, and she's like a bitch.
Which is a perfect nod.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. It's the perfect nod. Yeah.
She's like a bitch, but then she's crazy. And oddly sexual. Like, her character is oddly
sexualized. She's a horn dog. Yeah.
And what's funny is because she's like the archetype of the virgin who survives, like, from Halloween. So, I love the contrast in her character, but just having her and the one-liner she gives and how she berates everybody that's on the show, because she just tears everybody down, has been very enjoyable. But my favorite is the Dickie Dollar Scholars.
Who are those guys?
That's Nick Jonas and his golfer white privilege buddies wearing sweater vests and hitting hippies with golf balls. There's one scene in this last episode where they legitimately just pop some gym candy, as they call it, get wasted, and take baseball bats to the streets to just call out the killer so that they'll come fight them.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. And it's a highly enjoyable, ridiculous scene that you have to see. It involves baseball bats versus chainsaws.
Oh.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
I'm assuming the chainsaws win.
You'd be correct in that assumption. but
it's that's the evolution of rock, paper, scissors.
And I will say this, and it's set to Backstreet Boys.
Ooh.
So nice. If that sounds
Backstreet
Boys, like, really it's up your video. Alley. Yes.
But I like how it kind of pokes fun at pop culture, honestly. Like, killing Ariana Grande off, like, I thought that was a genius idea, like, having her in the pilot and just killing her
and
off.
And trying to post social media the entire time.
Yeah. Like, let me tweet this before I die.
I need to update everybody.
Do you want
to
dance with the devil? What?
Yeah. It's perfect. I mean, it understands its campiness, and it completely... It reminds me a little bit of Cabin in the Woods, where it understands what it's trying to be, mm-hmm. and then it completely makes fun of it, mm-hmm. actually.
I will say, it is a little weird for me, because Abigail Breslin is on this cast.
That's an awkward casting. That's the one
she's
awkward casting.
She's a really good actress, but what's awkward for me is that I'm like, you're Little Miss Sunshine, why are you talking about getting Eiffel Towered? That's what I'm just like, no! Like,
well, that is, like, I mean, to me, I just watched the first episode, but I mean, to me, I think she doesn't have what they're trying to... appeal as that sorority look or whatever, and I get that they brought the, you know, the ordinaries in or whatever like that, mm-hmm. whenever they're deeming them, but I mean, like, she still doesn't fit that role to me, just look wise or whatever. You know who's nailing it though is Emma Roberts.
Oh,
Emma Roberts,
perfect.
She kills that role.
Yes, I love her. She I think anyone that also watches American Horror Story is gonna love her as Chanel, and her minions of Chanel number two, three, and five, because four is gone because she died of meningitis. And how all of them have dated Chad for some reason, and I love that she always eats those Snackwells, the devil's food cake cookies, because I feel like it's just an ode to the devil that's the show. Mm-hmm. And she's just like her couture line and making the blood oath of everything. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of American Horror Story,
yeah,
that's coming back soon, right? Hotel, Motel.
Yeah, Alyssa, you've watched all four seasons, right?
What?
You've seen all four seasons.
Yes.
And how do you feel like season five is going to go on without Jessica Lange, who's been the, like, rock of, I think, every season?
Sorry to interrupt, because I do not watch the show, but I know it's very popular. So they carry the cast over every season, and it's like a different setting for each season, right?
Some of the cast.
Okay, not all of the cast.
No, it's a new cast every season. Some overlap, but it's a whole mini series. Each one's considered a mini series. So it's a completely different, like, time period for most of them. But there's also kind of a bigger overall idea that they're all intertwined. All of the seasons are intertwined. And they kind of do little nods to each of them. They have, like, little Easter eggs also in some of the seasons. But I think they're going to be just fine without her. Honestly, like, they have such a good cast. They have Matt Bomer now, Chloe, Wes Bentley. They have Lady Gaga, which is a really interesting casting.
She's already creepy.
She's so creepy.
She could just be herself.
Like, yeah,
she's a great character.
It's going to be like one long, like, hour-long, like, Lady Gaga video, and that would creep us out. But they have Finn Wittrock, who was the psychotic dandy last season.
Oh.
And he's kind of going to be like a little rocker. So I'm really interested to see how that works. But I think Angela Bassett and Lady Gaga are going to be rivals, and I feel like they're really going to carry the show with their singing and whatever rivalry they have. But Kathy Bates is supposed to be the person that runs the hotel, and she is just, I mean, she just owns every single role that she has. I don't think we have to worry about anything with that showing.
She's been three seasons, and she's played this, what was her name, Madame Monroe or something, like, a real historical person who was thought to, like, have tortured slaves in, like, the attic of her house in New Orleans in the 1800s. She played her, and then she played the bearded lady on Freak Show. And now I think she's very good.
Oh, she's very good at being creepy.
I mean, when you think about that too, and like I'm just thinking about it right now, that is a show that I would argue has probably the most famous cast today.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like the ensemble that it has, it's insane that they can get that many people that are that credible of actors.
And I think,
and you know, other genres too, like Lady Gaga.
It's such a short commitment too that I think they would want to.
It's appealing.
Such a creative outlet for
them. It's appealing.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's very appealing.
You had Jessica Lange, who has been on all four seasons, but people who have been on it for a season or two have been like Dylan McDermott, who was in like the original, he came back in the second season too. He was in Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zachary Quinto was in the first two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Michael Chiklis in?
Michael Chiklis was in his last season.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh my god, was creepy.
Yeah, he was really creepy.
Owned it.
And I'm like, if I were MPH's kids, I would never let my kids watch. Like, I would never want to see my dad in this role.
He's so. I'll have to say, I mean, his character in Harold and Kumar. You know, I know it's stupid and ridiculous, but he's so believable.
Oh yeah,
as this complete opposite of like his actual self. I mean, he's just great.
Wait till you see American Horror Story: Freak Show.
Yes, I didn't really enjoy that season because it just felt really forced for me, and disconnected more so than the previous three.
And this was the Freak Show one.
This was the last season of
the circus,
and
carnival.
The conclusion of
other
it adjectives. Didn't feel as like I didn't like the conclusion of this season.
I would say that without a doubt, I'd say the first season was my favorite.
Yeah,
just because it was so it was very tightly written.
Mm-hmm.
I think the writers right now are very pressured to produce a product, and they. You know, can't see the beginning and the end well as they did the first season.
And I think one thing is if they focus on doing seasons like Coven, where like they don't have to reproduce, where they can have a different type of tone for the season, because Coven wasn't nearly as dark. It was more of that witty banter too, which made the characters enjoyable.
It reminds me of Scream Queens, honestly.
Yeah,
yeah.
It warmed Ryan Murphy up to that. Because
mm-hmm.
I think Ryan Murphy was somewhat testing that product in American Horror Story. And he's like, would this actually work in something that I could push full-fledged?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, have you guys heard of this theory that how the seasons are connected? I know, Alyssa, you alluded to this earlier, that there's Easter eggs. But someone has come up with the theory that these different seasons, because you keep seeing cast members, are actually different circles of hell they're going through.
Hmm.
Ooh.
And that would really explain Jessica Lange's last scene from hers, because she may have completed her travel of the nine circles.
Oh.
And so if you've seen Freak Show, it's a different view, and to look at shit, you're like, well, yeah, because almost every character, like, there's no honest good characters in these shows.
Yeah.
No.
See, but I almost feel like doing something like that would, like, really tie those writers to creativity that they don't want to really work with. I mean, that would really force the writers into a really tight box for these next seasons where they're really good at creating various products.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to wrap it up tighter, I think.
I just didn't know how they can make clowns creepier.
Serial killer.
Yeah, it worked. He was great in that role, too. He was great in that role, too.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, every time I thought of the actor, I just think of him as the cross-dressing Drew Carey brother, but as the clown.
That's right. He was the brother from... He was in Fargo, too.
Yep.
That's
what
I think of in Fargo, yeah.
Well, I think if anyone's been kind of a positive, good character, it's been Sarah Paulson's. But now she's supposed to be bad. They said Ryan Murphy tweeted that she's going to be the baddest girl of them all. So
really?
That will be really interesting, because she's always kind of been more innocent,
like,
I guess, in the past seasons.
She is good in Coven.
She's good in Coven.
She's, like, half good, half bad in Freakshow.
Yeah.
Because she played, which, wonderful, like, the Siamese, like, twins, like, two-headed sisters. Is she in Murder House? Or
she's
I think
not,
she's only
she's
for
in
the
asylum,
episode,
though.
Right?
She's in Asylum.
She's in
she
asylum.
Has a very dark, she has a very deep story in Asylum, though, as the reporter.
I don't think she's in Murder House.
I want to say she was only on for, like, one episode.
If she
episode.
Was, it was an episode.
Yeah.
But still, she's not even good in Asylum, if you think about it. She's so selfish.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's
I
what
mean,
I'm saying.
She's
like,
plays a, she
like,
plays a rotten character
that's
very
so,
well.
If, even when you're heroes, you're not getting, like, these clean-cut, like...
Yeah.
I think Evan Peters is closest to a good character in Asylum.
Which is crazy,
Asylum,
yeah. Which is crazy when you see his origins from the first season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I'm excited for everything October has to offer.
Yeah.
I love Halloween.
I love
these shows. I love American Horror. I love being scared.
What are your projections on, I think, because, Alyssa, we pulled you on the show to be, I'd say, the Scream Queen expert a little bit.
Resident Scream Queen.
Yeah. What do you think, I mean, out of these shows, what do you think is going to be the most entertaining season this fall? Walking Dead...
Fear the Walking Dead,
Scream Queens, or American Horror Story.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see where Scream Queens goes, honestly. I think American Horror Story is going to be strong, one of the strongest seasons yet, though.
Yeah.
For all of the seasons so far. And Walking Dead, I really hope they just kind of change everything. I think there's going to be a lot more zombies this season. They said there were over 600 that they casted.
Oh, wow.
So, we're going to be seeing...
Some great television.
Yeah, some great television. And a lot of deaths.
Yeah.
I hope a lot of gore.
Darrow's going to need some more arrows.
Greg Nicotero is going to have a field day out there.
Can't wait to see Carl shoot some zombies in the face.
Hopefully.
And then be melancholy about it.
You know what? I wouldn't be sad if Carl died.
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
On that note, I think we're going to have to break. We've got Brian reviewing... a scandalous movie that's been out for a while, but I don't think many people have seen it, actually.
Spike Jonze?
Yeah, I don't really know if I would say scandalous, but yes, I will
you
be...
You did call this movie The Future of Phone Sets.
I did.
Just as a teaser. Not going to tell you what movie it is. We're going to leave it right there.
Great, great teaser.
And we'll talk about the film industry and just a lot of stuff that we kind of don't like. That's what's coming up.
Yeah, stay tuned.
See you on the flip
shit
side.
We don't like.
Yeah, thanks for making me look forward to this next app, Dan.
You have to build them up and then tear them down.
So good, son.
I didn't know this was a remix until he exclaimed it.
Oh, that I thought it was the OG track too.
Yeah,
yeah. That's not in the ballet, the Nutcracker.
Last time I checked, it was.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Question for you, Brian. What are you doing New Year's weekend?
New Year's weekend. Well, probably going to consume a lot of alcohol, make some bad decisions, and carry a hangover for a few days.
Well, if you want to make a good decision, what you should do is head down to Spreckles Theater in downtown San Diego to check out Hip Hop Nutcracker, put on by Culture Shot Dance Studio in San Diego. They've got three shows all weekend. Oh, I'm sorry. Four shows. Starring our own very guest tonight, Alyssa Root.
Hey.
Wow. I wasn't going to be able to make any of the three, but...
the fourth one?
That Sunday matinee show.
Yep.
Because you'll be over your hangover by then.
Exactly.
January 1st through 3rd at Spreckles downtown.
What she said.
And I would love to start the year watching a different take on Cracking Nuts. Maybe to the beat of 50 Cent.
Ludacris is coming in. Wow, this took a turn. Did we say this was a remix?
Listeners, that saxophone means once again it's time for Brian's Homeless Movie Reviews. A listen for those listeners who are not aware, currently do not have permanent residence, so thank you Starbucks Wi-Fi for allowing me to stream HBO Go Netflix. So, speaking of Starbucks, put down whatever pumpkin shit you're currently eating, because... it's getting to October, and you know Starbucks just fucking throws that shit in your face. Because I'm talking about a really interesting movie called Her. Written and directed by Spike Jones, starring Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson, who's not physically in the film, but supplies the voice for what they label as the first... artificially intelligent operating system. So, you know, recently we had iOS 9 drop, which is okay, but this particular iOS will be able to, like, think critically, and it's like just talking to a real person. So I thought the actual story itself is really good, because I could envision this actually becoming a thing. So it's like, you know, Siri continuing to evolve into something that can, like, actually carry a conversation with you. And then her herself is evolving like a person with you. And it's like your own personalized, like, friend that you have. And as you can imagine, you know, this interesting relationship develops between Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson, who is his, operating system. And it's kind of funny, because at a certain point, he starts to label her as his girlfriend. And, like, people are like, oh, so, you know, can you tell me a little bit about her? And he's like, oh, well, she's an operating system. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? But it eventually becomes a thing. And, like, people start having relationships with their own operating system. And I think that's, like, the most interesting part about the movie. Not only does Spike Jones just do, like, a great job of just writing this really great drama filled with a lot of interesting relationships and, like, real-life scenarios, but he like, makes you really feel for something that you know is not real and that you're constantly told is not real, and it still just doesn't matter, because, like, they do such a great job of arcing this character. And Joaquin Phoenix just absolutely nails his performance too. He does a really great job. He ends up, like, divorcing his wife, and in that process like, is just lonely and wants to check out this operating system, see what it's about, and ends up falling for a fucking computer, which is, you know, funny to say out loud. But again, like, it's just really well done, and you kind of forget that Scarlett Johansson's like not a real person. And like at no point does it get like weird or tacky. They don't take any shortcuts, and unlike God, that stupid movie that she was in, Lucy.
Gotcha, bro.
Where she like becomes this all seeing super computer type thing. That's actually her real character in this movie, and it's portrayed much better, and it's actually believable because she's in, like, she's an actual operating system, so it makes sense. But yeah, man, like the movie's great. Really, really, really great. Just drama about romance in real life.
So do multiple people fall in love with their own operating system? Okay, so it's not just isolated to Joaquin Phoenix.
Right. And then there's a lot of really big names in the movie that I had no idea about. Amy Adams plays his like best friend. Obviously Scarlett Johansson plays the voice. Chris Pratt's in it, plays his like work buddy. Kristen Wiig is in it. And, you know, we made a joke earlier because I said this movie's like predicting the future of phone sex, because it's literally. Like literally, because so it's, you know, like everyone's like on Bluetooth with their phones and you have the ability just to like chat with people. So it's kind of like a sexual chat roulette where it's literally chat, like you're not seeing anybody. And so he ends up connecting with this person and they have this like really weird and kind of funny sexual exchange, and I find out after the fact that it's Kristen Wiig who's on the other line, and it makes sense. There's a dead cat involved. It's weird. But yeah, I mean, overall, I'd say the movie was great. You know, it kind of came out to mixed reviews, I think, because I don't know why. Because if you see the movie, I think you're going
to
like it.
I think it's because people aren't used to Spike Jonze's product. I think a lot of the time, and you know, I think that critics just aren't used to seeing that in a while, and it, yeah, occasionally comes by and people just can't warm their eyes to it like a Wes Anderson flick.
Yeah, I mean, I will say it's definitely not like an uplifting movie. It's it's very supplanted in like realism and, you know, just a shitty situation that Joaquin Phoenix is in. So like that part's kind of a downer. But, like, if you appreciate good filmmaking, you'll really like the movie. Again, you know, it's not going to put you in a good mood. But it's just really well put together. Cinematography's great because it takes place in the future. And I think they do a really good job of, you know, not making it...
Back to the Future too.
Yeah, it's not like iRobot. But it's like a believable, you know, 50 years in the future where... mustaches came back and high pants are in fashion, but everybody has, you know, a cell phone kind of like they do now, but are talking to an iOS that's like a real person. And then the ending's really good too. The ending's good and interesting. So her, I'm giving 4 out of 5 quarters. That'll
that's
get
a
you
a whole dollar.
That'll get you, you know, 48 minutes at a parking meter downtown.
Yeah. That's a substantial amount of time downtown.
That is.
Yeah.
You could get a lot done in 48 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you could watch half of her.
So, question for you, Brian. Could they ever do a sequel to her?
No. Just because the way that it ends... doesn't really make sense for a sequel. And
so
I don't want to really say too much.
So odds are they'll probably make a sequel then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think Spike Jonze has ever made a sequel.
Well, they may not even need Spike Jonze, because that's the trend, I think, right now we're seeing in Hollywood.
Yep.
And I know we've talked prequels. We've talked prequels on this show. We've talked remakes. See our episode about Point Break, those motherfuckers.
Keanu!
And Roadhouse. We talked about that a couple weeks
yep.
ago with right. Miss Ronda Rousey.
Rowdy Ronda Roadhouse.
Say that 5 times fast.
No.
Yeah. So now it's time for us to take a crack at sequels.
Talking about sequels. Ooh, the beloved movie of the franchise. The sequel.
We have a friend who I will not mention his name, Jason, but he is upset. Like, he's one of those moviegoers that I think Hollywood loves, because he, if he likes a movie, will pay no money. Will just throw money to see more movies of movies he's liked. Doesn't matter how good they are. Like, he thinks Ocean's 11, 12, and 13 is one of the best trilogies ever made.
Ooh. Yeah.
Because he loved the characters. He loved seeing them on screen. So he thought, why is it bad to see them for 4 more hours?
Your dear friend Jason might be listening to this right now, so let's not crap on his movie taste too much.
I'm just saying that. But I don't want to just single out Jason, but I am. that I think is the ideal behind why Hollywood will automatically jump to a sequel being a good idea.
Yeah.
They know it's going to make money.
And Transformers, man. I love the shit out of Transformers, but...
Dan, look at the piece of shit that's at the number one at the box office right now. Starring the guy that can't make a good original movie at all.
You don't enjoy funny-voiced Adam Sandler for 90 minutes?
Not as an animated vampire. No, I don't.
I'll suck your wallet.
I heard the first one was okay. I never thought they'd make a second one.
Hotel Transylvania? It made money. It was in the positives. It was in the green of movie making. There is incentive to make it, regardless of how shitty it is.
Well, I think it set the record for that particular weekend, too. Like, it had the biggest release of that weekend of all time.
That's disgusting.
What did it go up against? The Green Inferno?
Yeah.
And Black Mass, that's out, starring Johnny Depp.
I think that came out a couple weeks ago, so. Yeah.
But nobody's seen that.
And The Maze Runner Scorch Trials, which I like.
A sequel?
But
is that out?
I think that's a little different, because the reason why I say
it's called The Maze Runner
is because the reason why I say it's different is because they went into making a movie that was already a trilogy in literature, and I think that's different than just adding on, because there was already a complete story, and I think what's terrible with like Hotel Transylvania, they never wrote the first one and was like, yo, let's write this whole complete story and break it up into two movies. They said, let's make a first one. Oh man, we actually got paid. How can we make more money?
So like,
come up with a story. Let's force some things. Let's try and recreate what worked in the first one, because that's what people will want to see.
So you're saying it's there? Yeah, there's a difference. It's not necessarily recycled.
Yeah, like I think a good example is Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy. He wrote those three movies with like a complete view of how he wanted it to go. It wasn't kind of like Joel Schumacher, Brett's favorite director.
We gotta put nipples in this one.
Yeah,
like, you gotta put nipples in
this cod piece. I will punch you in the mouth
with the cod
piece.
But
you know, that's where I'm going with, like, the fact that they want to make a movie that we mentioned earlier, Cabin in the Woods. There's talk of making a sequel,
which is absolutely insane to me, Dan.
Alyssa didn't even like the movie.
I didn't like it.
Hey,
that's... it needed to end.
So you're not excited for another one?
No, not at all. Saying.
I don't think anybody.
I don't know how there could be.
That's yeah. See, I think that's our point is, did they see the first one? Because there is no need to make a second one, because what is there to show that is worth watching in the second one? I mean, it makes no sense. It would be like watching Outbreak 2. They cured the virus, and I'm watching another hour and a half of just.
Well, they did make 28 Days Later.
Which Jeremy Renner did.
Hours.
That's true.
And it was terrible.
It was pretty awful.
It wasn't that good.
It did have Harry Perrineau Jr. from Lost, which absolutely ruins anything that goes longer than an hour. So,
I mean, it's like, I think a movie that Brian reviewed very early in our podcasting days, which had the most successful weekend in January.
And I think you actually mentioned during the review that was being slated for a sequel while we were talking about it.
Right along too.
Drop me off.
I think you gave gave it 1 star out of 5.
Yeah.
Or 1 paycheck, I'm sorry. 1 paycheck out of 5. And that was good enough, Brian, to get a sequel.
I'll just say this. It would, if they just let these guys be themselves and, you know, change this to a rated R movie, it would be gold. But they're just so restricted, and like the jokes, like, because I watched a lot of the outtakes and they're hilarious, but all of the funny takes, you just hear the director, guys, it's PG-13, we can't say that. Oh, hey, Kevin, it's PG-13. It's, oh, Cube, it's PG-13. We can't do that. So they cut out all of these great, like, ad-lib moments that they have because, you know, they have to water it down. And it just sucks. It's not funny.
They water it down so teenagers can go see it, and that means more money, yeah, not better products.
Let me guess. 20th Century Fox? same people that absolutely fucking ruined Die Hard 4 to make it a PG-13 movie.
Right.
And then you actually watch an R version of it and you're like, wow, why the hell didn't I see this anywhere?
Didn't they make Terminator... isn't Terminator PG-13? One of them.
Yeah,
one of
Terminator PG-13. Rise of the Machines,
yeah.
3,
yeah.
Which is the worst one.
I mean, sequels, though. Like, it gets back to them. Why make it? Why make them?
I mean, and there will always be the movie, like, the outliers, the exceptions to the rule, like Terminator 2.
Godfather.
Dan agrees. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
Scream number 4 was good.
Scream 4 was good. Scream 4 reinvented it.
They came back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ironically, reinvented the horror genre that reinvented the horror genre,
right,
15 years earlier.
And I think... But I think that like slasher horror genre, they get a little break because it's such... Like, their stories don't have to be super unique. You put a little twist on it and it makes for a good movie because you're going in that movie because you want to see how people die. You want to see people get killed.
Dan, you're but sick. I go to see a story and good acting.
Yeah, but I don't need to see 5 Saws, you know?
Yeah. I
don't need to see 2 Paranormal Activities.
So, people pay for Hostel 2. Can't we just have, like...
I actually saw Hostel 2 in the theaters. Movie Hop did.
Brian paid for Hostel
and,
2.
No, he didn't. He didn't pay.
It has one of the most scarring scenes, both literally and figuratively, in a movie that I've ever seen.
Does it have to do with a bathtub, or does it have to do with... You're talking about the other...
I'm talking about the... pruning shears that...
Yeah.
We will not go any
and then
further.
And then there's a German Shepherd
this
involved.
Is why sequels are bad. Because you see a dude's package being separated.
We don't have to talk about it.
No, but that's a German Shepherd. That's what I'm saying. Like, the reason why that happened was because they had to step their game up from the moment in Hostel with the Achilles, which killed people. But when people think of Hostel, like, that's like a movie, that horror genre that they're like, damn, that like got everybody in the theater. We need a moment like that, but it has to be just as good, if not better. And when you don't have that prolonged vision and you're only like, you're forced to write something, you come up with something like that.
Like Ride Along 2.
Like Ride Along 2. Like Cabin in the Woods 2, which Alyssa will never see.
No. I feel like the only way that they could set it up is if the virgin isn't a virgin anymore, and then she dies. Because she's the only one that lived.
That would actually... So, that was actually how I thought that ending was going to happen. I thought that she was... what was it?
I thought the guy was the virgin.
I thought the guy was going to be the virgin. Mm. He was going to turn the gun on the girl, shoot her, and then be like, fuck this, I'm out. And then just leave. And I think that would have been actually a pretty good ending to that movie with the tone that it was going.
Right,
so
that's
far.
Another movie that should have ended like 2 minutes.
Patrick Bryce syndrome.
Yeah, exactly.
Patrick Bryce syndrome.
And I mean, sequels aren't even...
It's
just
a condition now.
Sequels aren't just even plaguing movies.
Oh, yeah.
They're plaguing video games, Brett.
One of the best video games that we ever grew up with. I think everybody would agree. Everybody can agree. Alyssa probably even played it. Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yes.
See? Right. There we are. Everybody,
hold that triangle button.
Everybody has played that game. The game just came out yesterday to not so stellar reviews.
And this is number, what, 6?
I think this is...
So they're calling it Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 because they made, like, the two undergrounds.
And they made Ride right. with the board and the peripheral that didn't work at all.
Was that Tony Hawk?
Yeah, that was Tony Hawk, too. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So this is, yeah, like, their almost, like, 8th game, but, like, in that Tony Hawk theme series, it's the 5th one.
Yeah. And it's...
Pro Skater series.
Which they hadn't made, like, a Tony Hawk Pro Skater since, like, PlayStation 2. It's been
right,
four, that
it was, like,
long.
Early 2000s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those were great games.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, so yeah, everybody that played them, those were great games. Yeah, I mean, do you remember having Officer in, like, the first one? That
oh,
you could,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, the secret, like, you could do things like that or whatever. This game is, from what I've heard, I haven't played it. I will not play it. I won't put my fucking hands on it. But, from what I've heard, this game is just, like, blatantly offensive. Because what it's trying to do is it's trying to rip the nostalgia that we all had back in the day and resell it for $60. It's not a shitty movie ticket. It's not $15. It's $60, which is even more offensive when you think about it in a sequel. Because people will probably walk
glitchy,
out of this
right?
on video game. Oh, it's absolutely glitchy. I mean, I've seen multiple reviews about it. It's a broken game. So.
Do you think it's because Little Wayne gave the game too much purple drink?
Yeah.
And that's why it's not performing.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have a promotion for Scissor if you pre-ordered
mm-hmm.
Tony Hawk.
Instead
6.
Of a DLC, you just get, like, a bottle of Scissor.
Yeah, you get Little Wayne's signed bottle of Scissor.
Yeah. Seizures for the rest of your
maybe
life.
That's
yeah.
what it is. You have to drink the Scissor, and then the game looks normal.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm. Mind you, on that note, too, I don't mean to go on a tangent or anything. I saw Little Wayne do the review on this game. Did you guys see that on Conan?
With Conan, the Clueless
yeah.
Gamer?
Oh, my God. So, beyond the game review itself or whatever, Lil Wayne is very fucked up these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's somebody that I thought it was an act at one point. He's pretty damaged.
Almost as damaged as Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5.
Yeah.
That's broken. He's not broken yet. He's on his way to being broken. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 is broken.
He can still get by at his shows. Just
yeah.
like riding into the mic.
Yeah. And if he glitched on if he glitched on stage 2, people would think it's some sort of act or whatever, and they'd probably cheer for it. Nobody's cheering for the glitches in this game. So.
And we're not cheering for sequels.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even excited for the Alien sequel.
Stop that, Dan, right now. Do not. We will talk about that on another podcast.
But I'm just saying, it's not Alien's fault. It's not really Scott's fault. It's Hollywood's fault. I'm
it's
sequeled out.
It's always Hollywood's
out.
Fault.
We will get on another tangent on that, though. That'll be another episode. That's Neil Blomkamp that did District 19
nine.
Or
District
9,
Chappie,
Elysium, all
Elysium.
That stuff.
And how have those movies worked out for him?
I think actually very well. I think he's got a great special effects unit.
He does.
That can
yeah.
cater to an Alien franchise.
He makes a shit
the
of a
reason
robot.
Why, the reason
yeah.
why this Alien movie's happening is because he basically, they scrapped that project. He shot out concept art on his Twitter account, and everybody's like, dude, this was the Alien movie you're going to make? Okay, somebody make this right now.
Right.
So,
here's some money.
Yeah, so I mean, that was how he did it, so I think this movie's actually going to be pretty good.
So my trust has been damaged.
Oh, and sequels, yeah, by far. We're looking for a good one coming up.
I just, if they...
I'll drop this. Avengers 2 sucked. Sorry, Dan.
Can't believe we're going to end another podcast on that note.
Yeah. Hey. But, yeah. I think that's a good...
that's good? That's good? Avengers suck. Yeah,
no,
we're
no.
good.
No,
we're
no.
going to reserve our ride-along 2 tickets.
We don't need
yeah,
that.
What
no,
is
yeah.
the advanced sell? I mean, at least Olivia Munn's name. So
ooh, okay.
That might be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah,
yeah.
Been awesome.
Yeah.
We need to have you on again. When's the next like good television season coming out? Is it April? I mean, spring coming on?
I mean, we're only in, it's still September right now.
I know, but like when does the next batch of good TV come on?
February, March.
February.
Let's pull her back on for
right after the Super Bowl is when
The
Walking Dead premieres.
That's what we'll do.
Oh, Game
of Thrones.
She's also
GOT.
Game of Thrones.
We will have our pro critic back.
She's part of the Watch.
Hey.
Ooh, okay.
I can respect anybody as a part of the Watch. So.
Is Jon Snow dead?
Even though they know nothing.
He is not dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, you heard it here.
Yeah, his
first.
Man bun's
been
seen
on
everywhere.
Set.
Right.
Yes.
I've seen
gotta love
pictures.
Drones.
Set picture.
So, we have been Pop Not Soda. Thank you for tuning in. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. Brian Owens at BOwens619. Brett at Nieces Pieces. Myself at Dan_Perez_. Our general account is Pop_NotSoda. You can find Alyssa Root on Twitter at BZ_Root. Anything else you'd like to plug before we send it home?
No. Thanks for having me.
You've been an awesome guest.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
First female guest.
Yeah.
I know.
We needed,
hopefully
we
not
needed
the
a
last.
Change. Yeah. It's been too male dominated in here.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking it on a down note, Dan.
Yeah, right.
Really, really appreciate that one.
And what did I say? Build them up? Just turn them down.
And now for a theme that we all enjoy.